I'd like to read one verse in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3. Second Peter 3, we're going to read verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his precious word. You know, there are people, and they live in the past. They speak about the good old days, and remember, they were good old days. They were days when the presence and the power of the Spirit of God was felt. But you know, generally speaking, those people, they become fault finders. And remember, it's so easy to find fault. You remember Martha found fault? Said to the Lord Jesus, "Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Martha found fault with the Lord Jesus. You remember the disciples found fault with the Lord Jesus? "Carest thou not that we perish?" Remember Simon the leper? He found fault with the Lord Jesus. Remember what Simon said? "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him." It was a man by the name of William Harrison, perhaps known to none in the meeting, once said this: "It is given to few men to be true critics. The majority are only fault finders, and it's so easy to find fault." So people that live in the past, generally speaking, they are fault finders. But you know, there are people that live in the present. You remember the young farmer, the rich young farmer of Luke's Gospel chapter 12? Thought about his body. Never thought about his soul. He thought about time. He never thought about eternity. What did the Lord Jesus say about that rich young farmer? Listen tonight to it. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." So people that live in the past, they are fault finders. People that live in the present, they are fools. How should you and I live our life? We should live in the light of the future. You remember Abraham? He looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. You remember Moses? Moses looked to the ultimate, not to the immediate reward. So people that live in the past, fault finders. People that just live in the present, fools. But people that live in the future, they will be marked by faithfulness. Now let's think of the phrase tonight that we have read. In the light of the future, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Now remember, it's not who, but it's what. It's character that is in view. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Now, I could think of this phrase in four different ways. What manner of persons ought we to be? Godward. What manner of persons ought we to be? Saintward. What manner of persons ought we to be? Selfward. What manner of persons ought we to be? Manward. And we could look tonight to profit at those four statements, Godward, selfward, saintward, and manward. I discover this. There are chapters in the Bible, and they are very well known chapters. And you and I tonight in thought could turn to those chapters and we could see those four things in the chapter. There are books in the Bible. And you and I tonight could turn to those books and we could see those four things very clearly stated in the book. Now, I'm going to do two things very quickly. I'm going to think of two chapters tonight where we could see those four things clearly stated in the chapter. Now, they're well-known chapters. Think of Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, what has to mark us Godward? We've to present our body. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. That has to mark us Godward. What has to mark us selfward in that chapter? We've not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we have to think soberly. What has to mark us saintward in that chapter? You remember what Paul says in Romans 12, he says this. Be kindly affectionate one towards another, with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. What has to mark us manward in that chapter? If our enemy hungers, we have to feed him. If he thirsts, we have to give him to drink. So in Romans chapter 12, what marks us Godward? What marks us selfward? What marks us saintward? And what marks us manward in that very important chapter? Come again to another chapter in the New Testament. You remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? A very well-known chapter tonight. What has to mark us Godward in 1 Thessalonians 4? We've to walk as to please God. We have to be marked by sanctification. We have to be marked by holiness. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He that despiseth not man, but God, who has given to us his Spirit. So in the first 8 verses of that chapter, it's what marks us Godward. What has to mark us saintward in that chapter? Touching brotherly love. ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. What has to mark us selfward in that chapter? We've to mind our own business. We've to study to be quiet. We've to work with our own hands. What has to mark us manward in that chapter? We have to walk honestly towards them that are without. So whether it be Romans chapter 12, or whether it be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what has to mark us Godward, selfward, saintward, and manward in those two very important chapters? Now let's think of Peter's epistle tonight very quickly. You go through 1 Peter and you'll discover this. In chapter 1, it's what has to mark us Godward. Listen to it. Like as he which is called you is holy, you and I have to be holy in every part of our life. In every circumstance of our life, we have to be marked by holiness. That's chapter 1. When I come to chapter 2, I read a verse like this. You and I, we have to have our conversation honest amongst the Gentiles. So in chapter 1, what marks us Godward? In chapter 2, what marks us manward? When I come to chapter 3 and chapter 4, it's what marks us saintward. We have to have compassion one towards another. We have to be courteous one towards another. When I come to chapter 4, I read a verse like this. We have to use hospitality one towards another. So chapter 1, what marks us Godward. Chapter 2, what marks us manward. Chapter 3 and 4, what marks us saintward. When I come to chapter 5, it's what marks me selfward. We've to be clothed with humility. We've to serve one another, and it's with humility. So chapter 1, Godward. Chapter 2, manward. Chapter 3, chapter 4, saintward. And chapter 5, selfward. Now let's think of one example just before I sit down. What has to mark us Godward? Let me say a few things tonight about God. For example, there are things that God designs. It was God that designed the tabernacle. It was God that designed the temple. It's God that designs the local assembly. He gave the pattern to Moses for the tabernacle. He gave the pattern to David for the temple. And he gave the pattern to Paul for the assembly. Remember, there are things that God designs. You know, there are things that God desires. It has always been the desire of God either to walk with men or to dwell with men. There are things that God desires. Is it Psalm 126? This is my rest. Here will I dwell. for I have desired it. There are things that God designs, and there are things that God desires. You know, there are things that God delights in. I could turn tonight to a verse in Jeremiah, and I read three things that God delights in. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. In those things I delight. We sung tonight about the Lord Jesus in that opening hymn. And you know, as a father, God delighted in his son. Remember, he was the stone that was precious to God. Remember, he was the man that was approved by God. Remember, he was the son that pleased the Father. Remember, he was the sacrifice that satisfied God. Remember, he was the servant in whom God delighted in. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth. There are things that God designs. There are things that God desires. There are things that God delights in. But what I want to come to tonight is simply this. There are things that God demands. There are things that God demands in your life. And there are things that God demands in my life. For example, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God demands faith. The Christian life is faith to begin with. It's faith to go on with, and it's faith to finish with. God demands faith. You know, God demands holiness. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. There's two verses in the Old Testament. Listen to what those two verses says. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Now you read that in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And you read that in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I've got a translation at home called God's Word. If you read that verse in God's Word, it reads like this. What doth the Lord thy God demand of thee? There are things that God designs. There are things that God desires. There are things that God delights in. But remember, there are things that God demands. You read that verse in Deuteronomy 10, and I'm just going to leave it with you. Fear him. Walk in all his ways. Love him. And you and I have to serve him. And we've to do it with all our soul. We've to do it with all our mind. and we have to do it with all our heart. Remember, there are things that God